The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Would you like to know how to rise above the average person so that you could become great? If you'd like to know the answer, then go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 11. I'm going to show you the answer. Proverbs 22 and verse 11, King James Version says, "He that loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." In the New International Version, it says, "One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend." It's much clearer. It says the same thing. It's just a clearer word. And brother, it doesn't make any difference which translation, no matter how you look at this particular verse. This is valuable wisdom. And when we really understand it, there's no other way of looking at it simply in saying the principle that is being taught here is a gold mine. Here is the point. A person who has a pure heart has kind, merciful speech. Therefore, great men will want to associate with a person like that. They will choose him or her as their friend. That's what we see in this verse 11. And it begins by having a pure heart. And I mean, this is a person who is free from all malice and envy and bitterness and guile and hypocrisy and pride and selfishness. So I think that we can go back and look at that opening question that I asked that some of us laughed at. Would you like to know how to rise above the average person to be great? Isn't this what it's telling us? And the answer is yes. Yes, it is. This is what it is telling us. A person with this kind of heart will use gracious words. And again, what I mean by this is this kind of person will have words that are acceptable, agreeable, kind, courteous, forgiving, gentle, merciful, and pleasing. Because you see, brethren, a person with this kind of heart is so pleasant and rare that men of renown, notable men, and it could be women, but notable men, are instantly and deeply drawn toward this kind of heart and toward the kind of speech that this kind of person with this kind of heart will have. I think most of us would probably agree that kindness, and maybe perhaps even the better word would be graciousness, which is going to be the word that I think I will probably use throughout most of the sermon, is one of the most beautiful human character traits. If you know anybody that is really a gracious person, there are so many ways that we could describe that person. And one of those ways has to be, this is a beautiful character trait that this person has. Often, a kind or gracious person is labeled as someone who is being a delightful or captivating person. And because the thing is this, whether it be male or female, whether it be young or old, graciousness makes a person like this delightful, pleasant, and positive, and rare. And I think without a doubt, this trait is clearly seen by excellent speech. That's what the verse 11 also is telling us. We will meet only a few, if any, during this life. We want to be one, right? So we want other people to meet us because this is the kind of person we are, because we're reflecting Jesus Christ in our life. I mean, that's the ultimate, right? This is what we're looking at. We're not going to meet that many of these people that are like this in the world today. They're just not there. They are rare. These people will have great personalities, will have great reputations, and we would want to be in their company. Consider with me that Solomon, as wise as he was, all the character traits that he has, some good, some bad, he admitted that he had somewhat of a weakness toward men who were gracious. I want to show you one example from the life of David that obviously Solomon knew of. He had heard the stories, the friendship between his father David and Jonathan, who was the son of the king, King Saul. He had heard this. When David's gracious speech had won Jonathan over, within a very few moments, simply by his words. Because Jonathan saw this pure heart, and the words that came from his mouth was gracious. And that's what it says. He won him over. Jonathan was won over by this kind of heart and word spoken by David. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Beginning in verse 57, we're reading down into the story, and I know that. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine. Now, the Philistine here he's talking about is, who do you think he's talking about? Goliath. Goliath. So this is early in David's, shall we say, career. Early in his career. So when he returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took David, and brought David before Saul with the head of the Philistine, because remember he ran out and he cut the head off, and he brings his head in his hand in verse 58, and Saul said to him, "Who are you? Whose son are you? You young man may have been as young as 16, 17 years of age." And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Benjamite." Continue on chapter 18 in verse 1. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." There is no indication they had ever met before. Verse 2, "And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him." Jonathan took his robe off, is what it is saying. It could be awkwardly worded and thinking, who are the he's and he did what and all of that. "And gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and his bow and his girdle." Wow. And it's very plain. It says and it shows it's because of the heart and because of the gracious words that are coming out of this young man's mouth. I mean, and here's the point. Even though David was a lowly shepherd boy, even though he might be considered as a potential threat to Jonathan's ever becoming a ruler, what we see is Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Just from this brief encounter. Why? Why? Because David's heart was free from ambition and pride and deceit and selfishness. Now, with that in mind, please go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 16. Proverbs 11, verse 16. A gracious woman, I understand it's talking about it from the point of view of using a woman. It can be male or female, but it's using the term here is a woman, so it does not limit it one way or the other, good or bad. A gracious woman retains honor, and strong men retain riches. Okay, now with that statement in mind, let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 and verse 21. For three things the earth is disquieted, or trembles, or quakes. There's other words that could be used. In other words, we potentially have some problem here. This is what it's referring to. For four which it cannot bear. Now go down to verse 23, just the A part of the verse. I'm just showing you there. It says four things that the earth trembles over. We got, you know, Houston, we got problems here when things like this go on. You can go through all of them. I'm going to just read the one. For an odious woman, when she is married, an odious or woman could be, there are several different ways this word can be alternately translated. It could be hateful or horrible or contentious. There's a lot of different phraseologies could be used, and it's an old word that we don't even really use much. It's rare. But it says, when a woman is married and is this way, the earth shakes and trembles as a result of a woman being this way when a person is like this. This is what he's saying. What we see is if a woman has few friends and is generally disliked, then she needs graciousness. It is her odiousness. It is her being this way, this hateful, this dislikable, disrespectful, or whatever. I said there are several different words to be used here, and there are many of them. Which is the opposite of graciousness. This odiousness is the opposite of graciousness. It is this odiousness that offends or turns off others, that or that causes the earth to tremble. Not a good thing. I mean, this is what we're seeing. On the other hand, a virtuous or a righteous or a good woman speaks very cautiously and discreetly and only with kindness. The very next chapter, Proverbs 31. This is what we know, this is what we refer to as the Proverbs 31 woman. Verse 26, it's the only verse we're going to read. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That word could also be graciousness. So you got one woman, the earth trembles as a result when a married woman is this way. And then the other side, you've got a woman who is a gracious woman, who is the Proverbs 31 woman, and we know she is married. Could this also happen with people who are unmarried? Of course it could. But it's used in the context of being married because it's going to have a bigger influence on bigger numbers of people, such as husband, children, grandchildren, generations after her. And so what we see here is about this virtuous or righteous or this good woman. What we see is that she only says acceptable things, and she only says them at acceptable times. I want you to go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to see where it says and shows us that a meek and quiet spirit of this type woman is a large part of her graciousness. First Peter 3 and verse 3, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel. And this is not what it's going to make her a gracious person. This is kind of in essence what it is saying. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. It's talking about another phrase for having a pure heart. Remember what did I say you have to? It starts with having a pure heart. And it says, but let it first be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Solomon also taught that wise men speak graciously, but fools destroy themselves with their words. I want you to see that it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 12. I'll go ahead and read it for you. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of the fool will swallow up himself. Solomon chose the word, a critical word, it's an adjective, odious for a woman. He attaches the word froward, F-R-O-W-R-D, froward, to men. It's the same kind of thing. A froward man is difficult, obnoxious, harsh, perverse, and unreasonable. And he is the opposite of gracious. Just like odious for the woman, froward for the man, and yes, the terms could be interchangeable for both male or female. We also see from Solomon that kings delight in righteous speech. Proverbs 16 and verse 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaks right. Kings also want people around them, surrounding around them, such as counselors or even ambassadors, that advise and represent the king, and they want this type of person to be someone who speaks pleasant, gracious words. Proverbs 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The value of a person who has this pure heart, there's this great value to it. The person who doesn't have this, this is just little worth, this little value to a heart like that. And so we're already seeing there's a separation in scriptures. Going back to the opening question, would you like to know how that you can become above the average person and become great? Do you now see why I'm saying this answers that question? It answers that question. It's also describing, brethren, how we are to be. It's describing how we as believers are to be. Because it's exactly the way Jesus Christ is. Verse 32, we're still here in Proverbs 10, verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaks frowardness. And I have several other proverbs, and you can look them up on your own, but I have about 8 or 10 other verses that we could read. You can do it on your own. I think when we just step back and think about it, obviously we would come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of graciousness. And King David prophesied of Jesus' gracious words, the way that he would speak. He actually uses the word lips, And I want to use that. Let's go to Psalm 45 and verse 2. Psalm 45 and verse 2. You art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into your lips or through your lips. It's probably a better wording for us. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. This is a prophecy speaking about Jesus Christ. We are also told that when Jesus first spoke in his hometown of Nazareth, this is after he had been, shall we say, ordained. I don't ever know when his ordination actually ever occurred, but, you know, he came ordained, if you understand. But anyway, he goes back and he starts speaking, and his first appearance back to his hometown in Nazareth, the skeptics were amazed at his gracious speech. This is what the scripture tells us. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 22. Luke 4, verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? How could this possibly be? You know, he's one of us. We know who he is. I mean, that's what the implication is. But this is what it says. And they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Even his, I'll use the word, enemies had to admit that no one had ever spoken like Jesus spoke. John 7, verse 46. John 7, verse 46. The officers answered, never man spoke like this man. There's no question that Scripture is full of examples of his gracious words coming from the purest heart. I went through and I looked and I came up with about 8 different examples that I could have used. I chose one example. You'll see, if you understand and think about gracious words coming from a pure heart, this will actually be an incredible example when we think about it. It's in John 8, verse 10. John 8, verse 10. This is the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. And the words that Jesus Christ spoke fit this category beautifully. Verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, you rotten person, you committed this horrible act. The penalty is death. Is that what he said? No. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. When you understand gracious words coming from a pure heart and what you would do and encourage and motivate others with it, it is an awesome illustration. It's so much more to just what he says. And again, I have several other examples. We need to also realize, brethren, that graciousness begins with a pure heart. Now, I've already said that, but I want to put it again here because I want to focus on that. Graciousness begins with a pure heart. While on the other hand, bitterness, envy, or strife in the heart is from the devil. It's the other side. And it leads to all sorts of confusion and evil. And I use those particular words because this is exactly what the scripture says. Let's go to James 3 and verse 14. James 3 and verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's exactly what I just told you. This is what it says. This is what it is telling us. And so we need to understand. We need to also understand and also need to realize that a man's speech reflects his heart. Luke 6 and verse 45. Luke 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You want to know what a heart of a person is like? Listen to the words. Because it says that's what comes from the heart. What's in there is what's going to come out. This is what it is saying. This is what it's telling us. Therefore, Solomon tells us that we are to keep our heart with all diligence. That's what he says. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. And brethren, here is the point. If our heart is cheerful and contented and forgiving and kind and thankful, we will think generous thoughts or gracious thoughts. The opposite is also true. We must, therefore, reject all sinful thoughts of bitterness and envy and evil surmising and malice and revenge. But you don't know what this person did to me. I don't care. If we want to be gracious, if we want to have a pure heart, it doesn't matter. This is the way we have to be. We have to get rid of bitterness and envy and evil surmising and malice and revenge. Those are also words right out of a verse. A pure heart produces gracious speech. At least that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And what we see here is that we're also to let our speech always be with grace, which is another word of graciousness. Paul also told the Ephesians to avoid all corrupt speech and to focus on words that would build others up. He said that a tender-hearted spirit based on kindness and forgiveness was right, but that bitterness, wrath, malice, and evil speaking were wrong. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's pretty straightforward. But that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That it will build up those who are hearing the words that you are speaking. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And verse 32. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So I repeat, but you don't understand how this person dealt with me. I don't care. I mean, I do in your personal life, but to use the excuse of, yes, therefore, this is why I speak like this. No, it says that we're to forgive, we're to do all these things as God has forgiven you. So we have no excuse for talking this way to anybody. Brethren, please understand, if we think kindness about others, if we rule our spirit, and if we guard our tongue, we will be gracious. Now, that's a powerful thing to understand. Okay, I want us to go back to the opening verse that we read at the beginning, Proverbs 22 and verse 11. I'll read it again. He that loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. I hope that we can now see that this verse should be considered as pure gold or a gold mine, which is what I stated back at the beginning. Brethren, if we want to grow in favor with God and man, probably the best place to start is with a pure heart and with gracious words. And so we have to look at ourselves and answer the question to ourselves, do I have a pure heart? Yes or no? Yes, that's good. No, we need to work on it. And are my words gracious words? It's yes or no. And if it's no, then we need to work on it. Because this is where it starts. This is where it has to begin. We need to realize, if we start with our heart and thoughts about others, then we will have the starting place for gracious words. It starts with our looking, how we look and think and talk to other people. And you know, brethren, the perfect place to practice is at home. With our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our siblings. Because this is generally where we are the least gracious. So here's the place where I offer my I am sorry. To my wife and to my daughters and to my grandchildren, I am sorry. Also to any of you that if I have not spoken gracious words to you, I am sorry and please forgive me. Because I understand this hits all of us. And this is where you have to start, is at home. And I understand that. So, I want us to shift a little and I want us to ask this question. What else can we do so that we will be gracious? I have come up with a list with verses and I want to go through them. My list is 18. I'm going to tell you the points. I'm going to tell you the verses. Some of the verses we're going to read. I'm not going to read all of them. But I also want to tell you this before you start trying to do it. I made myself a little handy-dandy little thing, and I made it available, and I want to, it's four pages, 1 through 18, with verses printed out, and I want to make it available to you, and so I'm going to just simply say, if you'd like to have a copy of this, just let me know, send me an email, and I'll send it as an attachment to you. For all of you here, I will do that. I will make that available to you. So when I go through these, understand I'm going through somewhat fast, but I'm also going to give it to you in written form, and it's going to be recorded, hopefully, and you can get it off of the website as well. So I'm going to go through these. Some of them we're going to read the verses, some we're not, but I'm going to give you the verses for all of them. Number one, we can listen more and talk less. Proverbs 17:27. He that has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent speech. I can give you several verses on pretty much every one of these. I'm giving you one passage, one example. Number two, we can encourage others. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man at his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So we can encourage others. We put others first. Some of you will recognize that those are verses that I have stated many, many times. These are the golden rules, the golden rule verses for marriage. Number three, we can learn to love and practice charity. We can learn to love and practice charity. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We could ask questions of ourselves on every one of these. Do I do these things, yes or no? It's a question. Do we? And the answer is yes or no. Number four, we can avoid folly. I'm not going to read this one, but it's in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1. It's an interesting verse. Number five, we can hate jesting, J-E-S-T-I-N-G. And I use that word because that's what the verse says. Ephesians 5 and verse 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting. And our better word would be what we would call coarse or off-color jokes. It's what that's referring to. We can hate jesting or coarse or bad jokes. Just stay away from them. Number six, we can be cheerful. Proverbs 15, verse 13. Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Verse 15, this is still in Proverbs 15, verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. And if we're this way, if we can be cheerful to others, it's like we have a continual feast. So why would the king want to be around with somebody like that? Is there any real question to that? And the answer is no. Of course, we would understand why somebody, you know, in positions would want somebody like this. Number seven, we can be content. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Number eight, we can promote mercy. We can promote mercy. James 2 and verse 13. James 2, verse 13. Number 9. So we're halfway. We're right around halfway through, right? 18 of them. We can develop real compassion. We can develop real compassion. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful or kind-hearted, and be courteous. Number 10, we can eliminate moodiness. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Number 11, we can overlook others' faults. We kind of covered this earlier because I talked about it when I said, well, you don't understand because what this person said or did. And I went, I really don't care. And the reason is because God has forgiven us and we are to forgive them. Because he has forgiven us, we are to be forgiving others. And so this is where this is. We can overlook others' faults. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. You don't turn your back on someone you know that is going to, you know, rob you blind or steal or lie or any of those kinds of things, you know, from you. Like I heard this other day, it just came to my mind. I don't know what it says. You, as a child, you learned you can't ask your dog to guard your food. You know, there are certain people that you just learn, you don't ask them to guard things for you. But you still forgive them. We still are to forgive them. And we are to overlook their faults. But we recognize that what they're capable of. There's a wisdom in that. But anyway, number 12. We can make peace. We can make peace. James 3, verse 17 and 18. Number 13, we can speak acceptable words. Proverbs 10, verse 32, the A part of the verse. Proverbs 10, 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Number 14, we can praise others. I know I'm going through fast, but like I said, all you got to do is ask for me and I give you the list. And so, you know. Number 14, we can praise others. Now, I already talked about how we can do things others. Praise isn't one we've covered, but this is another one. We can praise others. Proverbs 12, 25. Proverbs 12, 25. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Somebody is down, we praise them. We lift them up with our words. That's having an example of having, because you do it from the heart. It's a pure heart, and you use gracious words. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. How do you think this woman felt after that? Lifted up, praised, forgiven. 15, we can hate the limelight. And the passage I have here is Numbers 12 and verse 3. Proverbs 12 verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. This man was the leader. This man was out in front. He's the one that God spoke face to face with. And it says that he was the meekest man that at the time that lived. He did not seek the limelight. He was in charge, but he didn't. You know, he wasn't out there for the show of it. And that's, we don't want to do that. 16, we can despise envy. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. Proverbs 14, 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. And so in other words, we despise envy. And that's what happens a lot of times. But you don't understand how what this person did to me. That's a form of envying. It's a lot of different things, but it is that also. 17. We cannot be a busybody. 1 Peter 4, verse 15. 1 Peter 4 and verse 15. And number 18, we can pray about it. We can pray about it. We can pray for it. Asking for a pure heart coupled with gracious words. Okay. David is a man who had an example in the scriptures of having a pure heart because he asked the Lord God to search and perfect his heart. He knew where it was going to come from. It was going to come from God. He desired it. He went to the source and asked him for it. Psalm 139, verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Verse 24. And see if there be any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, lead me away from anything that's evil. Lead me toward your way of life. That's what he's implying, and we can certainly see that. Also, we need to pray for a greater measure of the Holy Spirit of God. The reason that we would, there's a lot of different reasons, but in the context of this sermon, the reason that we would do this is so that we will have the gracious fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Because here's the thing. Any person who is showing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance in his life will be gracious. Will be gracious. And so we would be asking for more of it. That person would be considerably gracious, and as the Word of God shows, he or she would be a new creature. The reason that I'm saying that is because this is not how we, because of the fact that we are human beings, this is not who we typically are. By our human nature, this is not who we are. We are wanting to become like God. We want his nature to be like he is. And all of these characteristics, all of these things, the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit is amplified in our lives. We're going to be gracious because God is gracious. And brother, we have to realize that graciousness is not what we think about ourselves. Graciousness, when we really understand it, is what others feel about us or sense about us. It doesn't have to really be a real knowing. They don't know. A person could really get to know you, and they don't really know you in a personal way, but they have this drawing to you because of this kind of heart. And the worst, Jonathan and David is an incredible example of that. David was that way. Jonathan saw it, and he, it says, and their souls were knit. They were bonded, implying also that Jonathan had that same kind of heart. As believers, if we would be more gracious in our speech, others, and by others I'm meaning non-believers, might be more attracted to what we believe. Now, I know you have to put in John 6:44, no one comes to me unless the Father draws. I understand all of that. I'm not doing away with that. That certainly plays in. But if somebody else saw graciousness, we're demonstrating a kind heart with gracious words. You know, another person who's even a non-believer would look at that and would be drawn to that. That's what Proverbs 22:11 says. And so I think that we would do well. Others may even want to, what is different about you? You know, what's different about you? Then you have an opportunity to tell them what's different about you. And friends, here's the real thing when you really boil it down and think about it, and I have a question for us to consider. Since Jesus Christ had a perfectly pure heart and totally gracious speech, here's the question for us to consider and to think about. Do we think that it might be a shame if his followers have neither one of them? Do I need to re-ask the question? Do you think it would be a shame if we're Jesus Christ, perfect example, perfect heart, perfect, gracious words. And we tell others we are his followers. Do you think it might be a shame if we don't have either one of those? We just need to think about it. We need to consider that. So what I'm asking is I'm asking for each one of us to come to the place where we honor our Lord and Savior, who is the King, and let us defend his way of life, gracious heart, gracious speech, pure heart, all of these things that we've been seeing today. And as a result, we develop a pure heart and gracious words. Because we remember, Proverbs 22:11 says, "He that loves pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." And brother, what we need to really ultimately understand, this is a prophetic statement. Yes, it is in the here and now. A lot of these same things are here, but this is a prophetic statement because this is speaking about the King of Kings who is going to come, who is going to be our friend, and he is going to exalt us very high when we truly have pureness of heart and our words are gracious. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, "On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." What I ask for is a blessing of pureness of heart and gracious speech upon all of us. So God bless you all and happy Sabbath to you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.